Picture this. Healthcare regulators wrestling with a question that probably keeps them up at night. What happens when chatbots start offering mental health support? It's almost funny, except it's not. It's the real problem Utah actually faced, and how they solved it? Kind of brilliant. A new paper in NPJ Digital Medicine, The Doctor Is Not In, But the Chatbot Is, examines exactly how Utah tackled AI regulation for mental health. The findings reveal something crucial. There's a massive disconnect between how we're thinking about AI regulation today and what actually needs to happen. Let's be honest. Mental health, AI, MHAs, isn't science fiction anymore. It's here. People are using it right now. So the practical question becomes urgent. How do you regulate technology that moves faster than policy ever could? The researchers uncovered something fascinating. There's zero consensus on whether this is even a problem in the first place. Practitioners, your therapists and psychiatrists, focused squarely on the risks. But then you had people with lived mental health experience. The folks actually using these tools, reporting real benefits. Academics worried about bias baked into the AI. And the general public? They stressed about people falling in love with chatbots. Everyone saw the same issue through entirely different windows. The regulatory side was just as fragmented. FDA medical device rules couldn't quite figure out if a chatbot counts as a device. State licensure laws were written before anyone thought about AI. Consumer protection statutes might apply, might not. It was jurisdictional chaos, and it created actual roadblocks for people trying to build this stuff responsibly. Enter Utah with something genuinely smart. Rather than shut it down or erect walls, they created a safe harbor system. Companies deploying mental health AIs could operate without licensure enforcement, but they had to prove they were following best practices. That meant pre-deployment safety testing. Clinical advisory boards. Escalation pathways, so people could actually reach a human when they needed one. The paper also mapped how these tools show up in the wild. Some supplement therapy, homework between sessions with a real therapist. Others work like AI residents under professional supervision. And some are just over-the-counter apps for specific conditions, no professional required. This is where policy minds should perk up. 80% of psychiatrists surveyed want better training on generative AI in mental health. That knowledge gap, it's probably fueling a lot of the resistance. But here's the real lesson policymakers need to absorb. Overly strict regulations could backfire spectacularly. Clamp down too hard on responsible developers, and you don't eliminate AI mental health tools. You just push people toward unregulated alternatives. Like using a general-purpose chatbot that wasn't designed for this at all. That's potentially worse than a tool intentionally built and safeguarded for mental health. The researchers push for something radical, a risk-benefit calculation, not a risk-only one. Sure, these tools have real downsides, but they also have genuine upside, especially for people in underserved areas or priced out of traditional therapy. The actual question isn't, is this risky? It's, is this better or worse than what people actually have access to? Quote, so what's the takeaway for people making policy? The researchers are clear. Flexible, evidence-driven approaches beat rigid rules every time. You need detailed guidance on what best practices actually means. And you need to keep monitoring because the tech keeps changing. What works safely now may need tweaking as things evolve. Utah's framework doesn't say anything goes. It says let's think clearly about this. It recognizes that mental health AI is already here, and the real job is enabling beneficial progress while genuinely protecting the people who need it. And when mental health and well-being are on the line, that kind of clear-eyed pragmatism is exactly what we should be aiming for.